Everyone in the MCCSE is back to school on Wednesday, August 2nd. Morning showers, perhaps too far away to worry about stuff like that. Temperatures in the upper 80s. And speaking of getting back to school, we get back to the school corporation. And joining us today, first time in a long time, Dr. Jeff Poswald, the superintendent of the MCCSE. How you doing, my friend? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good, Mike. It's good to talk to you after our summer break. I know you had the whole summer off, and so did I. So
that's right. Just put our feet up, ate bonbons, made sure that the grass was growing. No, that's not the case. And I'm trying to remember, when was the last time we spoke? Was it all the way back in May? Did we get
it? We spoke in May, and then you had a little break for me in June and July. Actually, June, 1 month. So it's only been 2 months.
Well, it's only been 2 months. Well, that's 1/6 of the year. I'm taking math classes this summer, and that's helping out.
Good
to hear your voice. It's a busy time of year, and it's an exciting time of year as well, as everybody is getting organized, rearranged, and everything else in between. Last week, we had a chance to talk to Alexis Harmon, who is your Director of Technology Services and Communications. New website is up and running. That's a great resource for everybody who is, well, if you haven't started panicking yet, that's fine. Maybe this is your third kid or your fourth kid. But if it's your first kid, that's a great place to find all your information. The new website looks great.
Thank you. Yeah, it's nice. It's clean. The point is reducing the number of clicks, and people easily can find the information they want. We have enrollment information, basic our new parent square and Canvas sites, and basically all the stuff about the start of school, school start times, and all those details right there on the website. And, you know, our main website now automatically translates into 5 languages.
Very cool.
Arabic, Spanish, Korean, Japanese, and Chinese. And so we're really excited about that. And Parent Square translates into over 100 languages. So not only are we improving the look of our website, the accessibility of information, but also accessibility in terms of having additional languages to support our families.
Hooray, hooray, hooray.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Well, and it looks great, and all the information's there, because I think when people can't find things is when they start to panic. We know when school starts. We know if the high schoolers are going to it's the same calendar of days this year around, correct? The high schoolers are going to start at the same time, middle school, same time?
Yeah, no changes other than a slight change for a couple of our elementary sites. We split the difference because of our transition plan for ALPS, but no other changes to start times.
And those are all located quite handily as well. The front page
right
of mccse.edu. And I'm just going to go in chronological order here because I think it's fun to knock this stuff out, because these are the questions I hear from people who just don't pay as much as attention. We all have those friends in our group, right? They're like, they're so busy with something else, they don't pay attention. And somebody says, you know, when's fall break this year? Or is Christmas break this long or that long?
Stuff.
Well, but they're not paying attention, so we have to help them out.
Or while they're having their cereal that morning, they say, I wonder what time the bus is coming.
Yeah, well, that you get a little card in the mail for that, right? So at least you got to check your mail. You can check your email and your regular mail for that. But the school calendar is put together how often, and what version are we on for the 2023-2024 school year?
Well, the school calendar, we publish calendars 3 years out. So we currently have a 23-24, a 24-25, and a 25-26. And then every December, we look at a calendar for 3 years out. And they've kind of all followed the same ebb and flow, they kind of have been starting, and I believe they do the next 3 years out, that Wednesday. And they kind of just kind of a similar flow. First semester is over by our winter break. And I think the only difference this year is, of course, 2024 is a leap year, so there's an extra day, and so we have that to that extra day, and we actually this year stuck it on April 8th because of the solar eclipse.
Very cool. So in 2024, we're not going to be in school that day, right? We'll be out eclipsing.
Right.
Oh, man.
Eclipsing.
There
you go.
That's a total word. I don't care if it's made up or not. It's beautiful. Eclipsing.
I like it.
And I guess Indiana is going to be one of the places that it will happen the longest, and we're expecting a big crowd and everything else that goes along with that.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, we've always known we were the center of the universe, and I think this just This just proves that to be
true. Well, there you go. We've figured that out. Make sure you get your glasses now. Don't wait till the till the last minute. So if you have any complaints, concerns, or anything else, if you're new to the area, about the calendar, the superintendent has just explained to you how that process works, and we're excited to be settled in 3 years at a time, so we're not we're not bobbing, weaving, and trying to keep up with everything that goes on. The most exciting day of your school year will be a week from tomorrow, the first day at the MCCSE. But before we get there, we want everyone to feel comfortable. So we're going to have open houses and meet and greets and all of those great things. Where are you going to be on opening day, August 2nd? I know that's you're like Spider-Man or Superman. You're just everywhere that day.
I love it. It's a great day. And so I always start out at the schools. And so I rotate. I hit one of our early start schools at our high schools, and I go to middle school and elementary. And then normally we come back to just review any transportation opening day concerns. We have a quick meeting. I get back out into schools and then do the same in the afternoon. And I make a point within the first 5 days of visiting every one of our schools. Of course, I can't go to all of them on August the 2nd, but within the first 5 days, I make a point of visiting all of our schools the first full week to get out into the classrooms and see teachers and students. But in the first day, generally, I started at one of our high schools, then moved to a middle school, moved to a tier one elementary, a tier two start elementary, and then repeat that in the afternoon and start the process. It's great. It is truly one of my favorite days of the year. It's so great to see everyone back in the schools and entering through those schoolhouse gates. And I know there's a lot of people like, oh, summer's over, but I love seeing the excitement of the students and really just the time our staff, they're starting to come back into the schools. I've seen them in their classrooms, getting their classrooms ready. And, you know, there's a level of excitement there too. This is what they do. They do it well. They're well-trained professionals, and it's nice to see them. They're welcome and prepared and greeting the students on first day.
Dr. Jeff Hoswald is the superintendent of the MCCSE. He joins us the fourth Tuesday of most months. There are some differences in the holiday seasons when we get into that. You mentioned transportation and how that works. We tried a new system last year with these staggered start times because we just never had enough buses or drivers for them. How did that work out? What was the evaluation process? I know it went on through the year. Was there a year-end meeting where you look back at everything? Is anything going to change this year, or are we satisfied from what we learned last year?
Well, so first of all, our on-time arrival data was significantly improved. We looked at the number of late buses, the number of late minutes. The average late bus was less than a minute. So we significantly improved the timeliness, the reliability. Our new technology is allowing parents to sort of track the buses and to have more real-time information. But most importantly, by getting the number of buses down, we now have fully staffed all of our buses. We're starting the school year fully staffed in bus drivers, and that makes a big difference. That means buses don't have to loop back, and you know, one route doesn't have a bus, and so our bus driver, so you know, another driver has to come back and pick those students up 30, 45 minutes late. It makes a big difference, and part of that is really a credit to the community. We stepped up. Of course, we increased through the referendum of 2022 the hourly wages of our drivers, our support staff, and it's made a big difference. So we're fully staffed with the full asterisks there that by having multiple tiers, we have less buses to staff. So we don't have enough drivers to go back to the way it used to be, but clearly our interventions and our changes worked, and we're excited to really start the second year of this new improved model.
And I see the former Herald Times building is growing with black and yellow school buses as well. What do you got going on over there? We know what it's going to be in the future. Is anything ready for this time of year, or is it just going to be the, I don't want to say overflow, but it looks like buses are moving that direction?
Well, it's just overflow parking. I don't know if you've looked the other direction between Miller and North Drive, but we are in the process of installing a solar canopy on part of our bus parking lot, and that solar canopy will save us over more than $175,000 a year just in simply the electricity that we produce, so that we can reduce amount of non-renewable energy that we are consuming. And, of course, as we expand the number of electric buses, they will be charged in that canopy. So we are constructing that canopy. It is expected to be done in October of 2023. And so the space that that canopy is taking up right now has required us to move our buses temporarily to just a temporary parking lot over there at the former HT building. So that's why they're over there. And then we expect, of course, we'll be able to park 48 buses under this new canopy. As we expand the number of electric buses, by the end of this year, we will have 33 electric buses. So we're excited about that. So.
This seems like a big deal.
I'm sorry. We'll have 23 electric buses by the end of this year. I'm a little off on my math.
The solar canopy sounds like a big deal. How did I miss this happen? When did this come about?
We've been talking about it for a long time. I don't know how we missed this. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this, but this solar canopy is 530 feet long, 90 feet wide.
Right, and I've missed it.
I don't know where you've been, but we've talked about our electric buses, and then in addition to that, we are producing our own energy to charge the buses. So, there's a lot of environmental benefits, but there's also some cost savings for us as well. You may notice when you drive by, we've also put solar panels on our transportation building as well as our admin building. So we really are trying to generate more of our energy, reduce our dependency on non-renewable resources. And the great thing is that this year, our 23 electric buses, they will pull under that canopy. And then that canopy, which is a solar canopy, will fully charge those buses. So those buses will basically use, no diesel and no non-renewable energy off the grid.
Did you have a coupon for all these panels? How do you go about putting all this together?
Well, we created in 2022. We created some additional funds through bonding without raising the tax rate to help build the canopy on what's called a guaranteed savings project. In other words, we were doing this with guaranteed savings, and there's different. It makes it a little bit easier when you're building something that is going to be guaranteed to save taxpayers money, and it doesn't come as a cost. Oftentimes, it's a little bit easier to do. So maybe you missed it because of that.
I'm shocked. That's a big project. I usually
drive by and look at.
Well, no. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying I missed how it was going to happen.
But if you want a tour, I'll give you a tour. Ooh. It's really cool.
Cool. Yes,
let me know.
I will take you up on that offer.
You know how to get a hold of me.
I do.
Online.
The fourth Tuesday of every month, Dr. Jeff Oswald joins us.
No, stop by. I want you to see it. It's fantastic. It really is.
Well, can I wait till it's less than 100? Because I don't want to disrupt it on its busiest day of the year, soaking up 98, 99 degree heat.
Let's wait till
fall.
Nicer.
Yeah. Are you going to do a ribbon cutting or something like that in October when it's perfect weather? I will be
we'll
over.
Yeah, we'll try to do one then. I'll let you know. If not, I'll give you a private tour. I mean,
I like that.
It really is just a canopy. I mean, it's just got the.
It's like a carport with solar panels.
It's like a carport. I haven't used that word for a while. It is a bus port with solar panels. That's exactly right.
I love it.
But this bus port, like your the carports that used to hold one car, maybe, right? That were right next to the house. The only difference is this bus port will hold 48 buses. Imagine that.
And it's not an indoor facility, I think, is the greater point. It's not four walls.
No, it's not. It's not.
So that's the port part of it.
That's right. That's the port part. That's correct.
And it's very, very important that we make sure everybody knows all of that. Dr. Jeff Oswald, it never ends, does it? Well, your teachers all summer, they just, the old joke, and we always tell this joke every year. I had a bunch of teachers in my family, obviously. Best thing about being a teacher is June, July, and August. Well, that has changed a little bit, hasn't it? And you keep you and everyone else that the educational process never stops. You had a big thing, a makers conference. What was going on there? A bunch of teachers were involved with that.
Right, just a lot of work within our community and with area with partners on just continuing to increase makerspace, and that's our STEM initiatives and how we get our students involved in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, the creation of new products and just makerspace and the sciences and really creating a lot of hands-on learning activities for students, which then, of course, as students matriculate on up, moves into STEM careers and additional opportunities for our students post-high school.
And as we get ready for the new school year as well, I assume we have everybody staffed, fully ready to go. We get new principals, you got new rearrangements, you got everybody at the corporate office ready for the new challenge of 2023-2024?
Yeah, I think so. We are expecting about 75 new teachers for the start of school year. We have a new teacher training program, which is Wednesday through Friday of this week. I know tomorrow morning I have the opportunity to go over and speak to the new teachers. Many of them are new to MCCSC. They're not new to teaching. This is not their first year of teaching, but it's their first year at MCCSC. Others are new to the teaching profession. They've just graduated or just earned their degree. And a few, 11 of them, have come through Grow Your Own programs, and they were actually support staff that have, while they've been working for us, have earned their license, and now they're moving into teaching positions. So it's always exciting when we see some of our support staff, our staff members that continue to advance their education and move into teaching positions, and likewise when we have teachers that are getting their administrative license and are moving to administrative positions. It's kind of what we want, so it's great to hear. But we expect to have about 75 new teachers this year.
Well, that's exciting.
In terms of administrative positions, of course, we have a new principal at Jackson Creek. We have a new principal that we are getting ready to hire tonight at Bloomington Graduate School. So we have technically a new principal at Summit Elementary School. I mean, he was assistant, and that was named quite a while ago, Mr. Abel. So, we have a few other changes. We have a lot of new assistant principals that have been hired throughout the summer. So we have new staff, new administrators as well. But we expect to open the year fully staffed.
Outstanding. And the other part of this that is interesting is all of the folks that moved up from those helping positions who are now teachers. Does that mean you need to recruit a new crop of them to take their old positions?
That's exactly right. And so we have found our new wages to be very competitive. I was just talking to a lot of our director of food services, director of transportation, director of facilities, and they have been very pleased with the level of applications, and they expect to be 100% staffed. And, you know, in the past couple of years, we've opened the year being way understaffed and having a lot of vacancies. So, yeah, the thing with Grow Your Own is you're creating other vacancies, but we're excited about it. I have started our second Grow Your Own cohort. Those are people we specifically identify, and we help train them to be teachers. So we're just continually creating that pipeline of talent, and it's the right thing to do.
And it makes your life easier. You don't have to have a firm or somebody else go through a million applications if you have everybody just right here ready to get just pick it out of your own garden in the backyard. That's an exciting, exciting way to get it covered up. Exciting times as well. The community is growing. And if we're growing, you talked about referendum. That one passed. We have another one coming up for newer people or somebody who is not paying the most attention. What is going to happen this November, and what is different from the last referendum that we put on the ballot and passed?
Well, quite simply, this referendum is a completely different focus. It's universal pre-K. It's adding pre-K for four-year-old students, for three-year-old on free and reduced, so that we can get more families back to work, more families that we can increase educational attainment. We know that when people go to early childhood and preschool, they're much more likely to graduate on time. So it's the right, it's definitely needed educationally so that more students are coming to kindergarten ready to learn. But there's also huge economic benefits to our community. And we know we've shared some of that data that has some of the specific benefits in terms of economics. But just as an example, In our most recent census data, we know that there is about a 10% difference in labor participation rates for people that have access to preschool and those that don't. So we're talking, 10% is a major amount of our population, right? That we can that are looking for jobs that are wanting to enter the workforce, but they simply don't have access to early childhood education or what, you know, some might call preschool. So there's a huge economic benefit. We know it's needed, and that's the main focus. That's what most of the money will go towards. The other couple things is we're really making sure that we expand career education. We want to make sure that our certification costs don't keep students from entering the workforce. So if you go to a program in CNA, a certified nursing assistant, and you want to go immediately to work, we don't want the cost of that test to be a barrier. So we've noticed that testing costs and a little bit of supplies and instructional materials costs. But most importantly, we've really worked to lower the cost of this referendum. So it's $50 for an average homeowner, and that's at a $250,000 home. So for $50, we can do universal preschool. And, you know, Mike, for the average family, they're going to save a lot more than $50. So we see this as an investment in our community. But it is completely different focus. This is focused on it's family-centered, it's community-focused. Our last one is really primarily focused on our staff and increasing our wages and our salaries for our staff members. So a completely different focus, but a much lower cost for this one.
And before we get to the meeting agenda tonight, did we redo the school districts yet? Is that on? Are we redrawing lines? Do I remember that from earlier this year?
No, we are not redistricting schools. The board is tonight in final consideration of redoing their districts.
That's what I meant. So I did a terrible job of explaining that, but that's what I meant, yes.
Yeah, school board districts. In other words, where people live, those have grown. The difference now has grown to be approximate 75% population difference. So the community has asked the board to reconsider those so that there's greater similarities, equal population. And they have worked with the Indiana Business Research Center, who have drawn maps that have really made those more equal. And I know that all seven districts in the new maps come within 2% of the mean. They're all around 17,500 people in each of them versus these variations from 12,000 to 24,000 or something. There's big differences now. So the board's gone through about a seven-month process. And tonight there's a recommendation for their consideration that comes from the board, and that is to change those maps. That doesn't change. Everyone still votes for all seven regions. They're not trying to move to electoral districts. They're simply trying to change the residential districts, and that's only to try to have a more similar number of people in each in each district.
Can I get philosophical for a second, or hypothetical?
Well,
it's a hypothetical philosophical. Some of our big news items, big ticket items, I'm going to talk with Mayor Hamilton in the next half hour about if there are new developments, whether it's Hopewell downtown or this 138 acres east of Weimer Road. When do you, as a leader of the school corporation, start doing math problems or hypotheticals on where we're going to put everybody if we expand this, that, or the other thing? Or is that something that is 10th on your list of nine getting ready for school?
Well, so yeah, it's definitely not on my list to open school this year. But the city leaders have done a great job of communicating with us development plans, whether that's residential TIFs, whether that's, you know, expansion areas. And then as they work on that and we start identifying timelines for the development, whether that's Hopewell or whether that's other projects, they kind of share with us anticipated number of homes. And then we can work with a demographer to look at capacity and what that looks like. And really, we want to be a growing, vibrant community with a focus on quality of life. And, you know, we know we're one of the lowest school tax districts in the state. We're in the bottom 10% in terms of costs. We know that we are significantly above average in all the performance metrics. We do a great job. We do it conservatively with our funding. And so we want more students, right? We want more talent attraction for businesses. And so with that comes increased population and ideally increased enrollment. So we will be looking at some long-range plans to what that means for us. How do we serve students, particularly if there is if demographers indicate that we are anticipating to see increased enrollment long-term. And so these are great problems to have. But yeah, the city is always communicating with us, giving us updates. And you know, we're supportive of these efforts. We know the cost of living is an issue, and we know that we have a housing shortage. So it would seem disingenuous for us to be, you know, discouraging projects that are going to increase the housing supply for our community. And then our challenge, right, is to simply to adopt. Does that mean that we have to, you know, look at additional schools? I don't think so. I feel like we can serve them in many ways with the buildings we have, but how do we be more efficient on that? And really just make sure that we're continuing to meet the quality educational expectations for students, no matter how many of them there are.
I know you expanded Summit recently because my children went there.
Yeah.
What's next on your list of things to do in that department? You built Tri-North. That's done. Middle school's done. Do you have any of those other long-range projects? Anything getting started in this year? Or, again, is that just not the early stages of anything? Because, like you mentioned, we're growing. We're not shrinking. So we know at some point we're going to need room for everyone.
That's right. So we are doing continually looking at long-range plans with some of our architects and planning. And we don't make any secret that I think our next large plan will be improvements to Bachelor Middle School. There's accessibility concerns there. The building isn't well designed for learning. And, you know, that's down the road a couple years. But I would anticipate in the next year and a half, just have some design conversations about bachelor middle school. And then from there, just making sure that we have some long range plans to make sure that our facilities are up to date and that they're sized appropriately based on the number of students.
It's 2023 and the school year will begin just a week from tomorrow morning. What's any philosophical changes? Anything you'd like to put on your wish list? What are your goals for 2023, 2024? I know none of that's hidden anywhere, or written in a drawer. But any shifts in focus starting a new year? I know you always look back to look forward, and here we are looking forward.
We have a greater focus on equity, and what I mean by that is to make sure that our teachers have the tools they need to differentiate instruction to meet the needs of every student so that we're accelerating learning for all students, right? And making sure that all students, that we have a growth mindset. That's our main goal. We have a lot of other goals, of course. We're trying to be more efficient in our funding. We're trying to improve our communication. We've talked a little bit about that in terms of our work on our website and Parent Square and how we send out information and how we communicate. And then, of course, we have goals in diversity. We're really working hard to diversify to create greater diversity of our staff. We want the demographics of our staff to look like and reflect the demographics of our student body. That's important. We've had this year continually as we expand our foreign languages, for example, including some of our programs and our dual language program, it's making sure that we have enough staff, that the more staff we have that are multilingual and bilingual, the better. And then, of course, within equity, more professional development, more targeted learning for our students, and really more wraparound support to make sure that the needs of our students, both the social, emotional, the mental health needs, the physical health needs are being addressed, because we know that when students come to school with barriers to learning, it really makes learning impossible, no matter how perfect the instruction is.
Yeah.
So all those things are areas of focus, and I really think that our staff's doing outstanding work on that, and I think that we're partnering and communicating more efficiently and effectively with our homes, and really kind of focused on that strategic plan, and making sure that we're measuring the strategic plan in ways that we understand the progress we're making, and that we continually work to improve on the areas where we're coming up short.
Meeting time tonight is
6 p.m. at the CoLab.
Just like it is most fourth Tuesdays of every month. You can see the agenda at mccse.edu. You can see everything, whether it's immunization, school supplies, Meet the teacher for elementary schools. Everything looks sharp and ready to go. Hey, best of luck. Get some rest. Have some fun. Make sure your air conditioning's working in all these buildings. It's going to be 900 degrees every day, and I can't wait to hear all about it when we visit again in August. Thanks, pal.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike. Appreciate all you do.